Welcome. This is Econa Days Unplugged, and it is June 6th, 2017. I am Ann Picker, Econa Days Chief Economist, and with me are Econa Days Jeremy Hawkins in the UK and Mark Pender in the US. Jeremy, geopolitical events and, oh yes, and European Central Bank meeting this week, and why investors should be watching very carefully.
Indeed. Super Thursday, I suppose you'd call it here, really. We'll get the UK general election, as you mentioned, and it, of course, coincides with the June ECB meeting. Why should they be watching? Well, I must say, if anyone looks at the correlation between the performance of the pound and what the opinion polls have been saying about the outcome of Thursday's vote, then that in itself answers the question. Just on the basis of some of the calculations I did, there's a correlation around about 90% between the expected government majority on Thursday and the way sterling euro has been performing. So quite clearly, investors are really looking towards Thursday extremely closely indeed. Now, with regards to the outturn, of course, you believe the opinion polls or you don't, but for what they're worth, they're currently suggesting at the moment probably a majority for the existing Theresa May Conservative government of about 6 percentage points, something like that. That, if it turned out to be accurate, would give it give them a reasonably comfortable majority. And given the way the pound's been performing of late, I'd expect to see at least a reasonable rally in sterling, together with probably a bouncing gilt. Equities would also quite like that result, but of course, there's quite a strong negative correlation between equities and the exchange rate. So if sterling were to rally quite sharply, then we could well see the FTSE ending down. In terms of alternatives, if Labour were to win, and although it's got to be said they picked up significantly in the opinion polls over the last few weeks, that's not priced in. So if we were to see Jeremy Corbyn's team come in, there's going to be a lot of political uncertainty about what's going to happen. They don't really have the track record when it comes to financial credibility as far as the financial market's concerned. So expect to see sterling being hit possibly quite hard. We certainly see the gilt markets lose ground because they'd be worried about a faster pickup in inflation. And equities, well, equities may be worried, but again, if we were to see the pound come off sharply, that should provide a bit of a boost. Worst case, which not very long ago people dismissed as being no chance, though, is of course the hung parliament, whereby neither of the two big parties receive a majority. Were that to happen, then quite simply all hell could break loose as far as financial markets are concerned, because if nothing else, it's going to really put a complete halt on the Brexit negotiations. The hung parliament would mean that whichever of the two big parties secured the most number of votes, they'd have to form some kind of coalition with the smaller parties, at least one of them, which ostensibly would mean the Liberal Democrats or the Scottish Nats, and neither of those parties wants the UK to leave the European Union in the first place. So what it means in terms of Brexit and everything else is anybody's guess, but certainly investors would not like it at all. Moving away from politics, ECB meeting. Could be an interesting one, this one. I think people have become used to the ECB not doing much for such a long time that they always tend to ignore it these days. But because of the improvement in the real Eurozone economy, with some at least sneaking expectations that we could see a slightly less accommodative forward guidance coming out of the ECB. Were we to see that, and although it wouldn't actually mean a great deal, the way financial markets work, they're going to anticipate it as being the first step towards, you know, reducing quantitative easing, and that should be good news as far as the euro is concerned. But quickly round off a last bit of politics, since we can't go away without yet more politics. That's on Saturday. We'll get the first round of the French National Assembly elections. So this is just the first round. There'll be a second round probably on the 18th of June. If the opinion polls are to be believed, it looks as if Monsieur Macron, the new French president, his team is going to come out of this quite well. And if that were the case, then that also should be relatively positive news as far as the euro is concerned.
Thanks, Jeremy. Mark, we have conflicting data on the labor front and what it means for growth.
The conflicting data, you talk about low levels of unemployment and exactly what was the reference with the conflict?
I'm thinking the relatively quote, disappointing increase in employment, and yet so many jobs going wanting, according to the JOLTS data.
The JOLTS data, yes. Well, that was Tuesday morning. That's this morning. That came out today, and the job openings moved over 6 million, which I had to double-check that to make sure I was looking at it right. It's about up to 250,000 in the month, and now tracking over hirings by nearly a million. So there's a million openings and in excess of those that are being hired. And to put these numbers in perspective, the entire labor pool is about 12 million. And the those who are actively looking for employment are over 6 million. So we have a very tight relationship here between the available, the number of, there's a scarcity of labor. There apparently is a scarcity of skilled labor. And however, because we're getting background. Hello? Is this me? Am I on?
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. What we're not getting is any wage inflation. So this lack of skill or this lack of supply of labor hasn't been driving up wages at all. In the Friday's employment report last week, we had a 138,000 gain in non-farm payrolls, which is one of the lowest in recent months. And with the three-month average, now at 121,000, which is the lowest in 5 years. So actual payroll growth, and we saw this in the hiring in the JOLTS report today, actual hiring isn't really moving forward very much at the same time that demand for labor is increasing. And we see that in the weekly jobless claims, which week after week this year have been edging lower and are at 50-year lows. So I guess that could be a constraint on economic growth, the ability to get the workers that businesses need. Presumably these are going to be higher productive workers. But right now the story for the U.S. economy is a lack of a second quarter bounce. Now, we had a soft first quarter, and we were supposed to get a big second quarter bounce. Well, we're not getting much of a bounce at all. Data after data, whether it be exports or whether it be inventories or whether it be consumer spending, have all been soft. And the Fed is looking to raise rates next week, almost certainly by expectations. And they'll have to do it at the time that the economy is weakening or is not strengthening. And so they're going to probably have to drag out their transitory line that this weakness, as they said in May, is just transitory and that we're bound to get a bounce back. So that's kind of the position right now. It's uncertain, but it's uncertain in the sense that economic growth really isn't living up to expectations.
Mark, can I ask you, so you've got this problem from the labor side. What's happening on the investment side? Is it the case that businesses are sufficiently confident about the future, about they're investing heavily, or is that dried up because they can't get the workers?
Business investment has been flat. We had a bit of a spike in the first quarter non-residential fixed investment component of GDP, and that was tied to structures a little bit for equipment. But what we're seeing in the early indications for the second quarter, again, are not favorable. And we're seeing it in inventories as well. Inventories are coming down, and that's not really the result of rising production needs. This is likely the result of business caution, that they want to keep their inventories down. So in the investment side, exactly. So, and you're talking about employment on the business investment side, and I guess we can see that in average hourly earnings on the supervisory workers, and they are higher than the non-supervisory workers. So that does point to a little bit of wage traction for the higher skilled workers, but still not very much. It's a low wage, low growth economy.
Interesting.
Thanks, guys. I think we'll call it a day.